I'm going to start off by giving you the title of my sermonette. The title of my sermonette today is called Full Force Ahead. That's Full Force Ahead. And you'll see why I entitled the message the way I did as we get further into this message. But first, I have a question to ask all of you. That question is, did you have a hard time leaving the feast this year or any year that you've gone to the feast? After the amen on the last day, did you walk away with a heavy heart? I know I sure did. Why is that, brethren? Why is that? Was it because you liked the place that you were staying? I know for some of us, it was some resort-style location on a beach with palm trees and sunny skies and warmer weather. For others of us, it may have been in a hotel room somewhere among the fall foliage this time of year. Was it the type of place that you were staying? Or was it spending 8 days singing, rejoicing with family, friends, and hundreds of other brethren, and hearing the many inspiring messages that we received on a daily basis? Was it the wonderful sense of togetherness that we all feel when we come to a place that God gathers us together and places his name? Or maybe it was all of those things combined, right? It was the worship services, it was the fellowship that we had, it was the meals that we were able to partake of, all those things combined. Together, they provide us with a glimpse into the soon coming kingdom of God, don't they? Our annual reminder of the millennium and everything that it pictures in God's wonderful plan of salvation for all of mankind. So when you had to pack up your suitcase, load up your car, or head off to the airport and sort of leave all that behind, how did you feel? Did you feel a bit sad knowing that those 8 wonderful days were, as soon as they start, it seems like as soon as you get there, you are excited, you are looking forward to spending all that time, and then just like that, you have to head back out and get back home. Were you looking forward to coming back home? I know for some of us we are. And I know there's no place like home, but I can tell you that when I am at the Feast of Tabernacles, that does feel like home to me. It's like flipping on a switch. Maybe not during the day, but if you go into a dark room at night in your house, or maybe more likely someplace that you're unfamiliar with, you turn on that light switch on the wall and illuminates everything in the room so you can navigate where you want to go, what you want to do. And that's what it's like for us when we're at the feast. That switch is turned to the on position. And then it illuminates all those wonderful qualities that shine brightly, not just in you and I, but in the rest of God's people while we're at the feast. You can see it. You can feel it. You can't see that when you come back into the world. The switch is turned off, and that light fades when we leave the feast and come back to our homes every year. As we return to our lives in Satan's world, the contrast between this evil age that we live in God's kingdom, it seems like that chasm just keeps on getting larger and larger every single day, every passing year. But that's what needs to be. If we continue to pray, Thy kingdom come, Jesus Christ, please return back to this earth, what you're praying for is the destruction of this earth to come. So now what? What do we do coming back from that spiritual high, right? That we say that we come back and we have that spiritual high from the feast. Is it already lagging? Has it already passed by? Or are you trying to hold on to that feeling, continuing forward? What can we do as we strive to hold on to that moving forward? Do we just hunker down and patiently wait for the kingdom to come to us? Or is there something that we can proactively do? Some action we can take to forge ahead in this life? Jesus Christ gives us an example. If you would, turn to Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. I'm just going to read the one verse. And it's one that you may have read, you know, just in your Bible reading. But it's one that I came across, and I'm like, well, what does that mean? What is he trying to say here? So just to give a little context, John the Baptist had sent some messengers to Jesus Christ to find out if he was in fact the Messiah. They had heard all these things that he was doing, the healings that were taking place, the followings that he had, and so John sent his messengers to see if in fact he was the Messiah. And in part of his response to these messengers, Jesus says the following. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, I'm reading from the New King James Version today. It says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence." Or that could also be rendered, "The kingdom of heaven has been coming violently, and the violent take it by force." What does that mean? Have you ever thought about it? What was Jesus Christ trying to say to us here? Are we supposed to use violence to take force of the kingdom of God in some way, shape, or form? I thought we were supposed to be peacemakers, right? And suffer for doing good deeds. Is there a place for violence in God's soon coming kingdom? The key to unlocking the matter of this scripture lies in what each of us needs to be violent about individually. Now, the Greek word translated violent here is Strong's number 937. It is biastes. Now, as a noun, the word means strong or forceful. It implies a sense of forcefulness or using force. The word violence, also in this verse, is Strong's listing 971, and that is the word biazo. As a verb, it also means to use or apply force. So we can conclude then from Matthew 11, verse 12, that we are supposed to do something very forcefully, right? With ourselves, with our lives, while at the same time moving forward, progressing towards the kingdom. Now, if you're still a little foggy on what Matthew 11, verse 12 is trying to say, we can look at a parallel account in Luke 16, verse 16. If you'd like to turn there, Luke 16, verse 16. It sheds a little bit more light on this subject that we're looking into this morning. Luke 16, 16, it says, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it." So up until then, they had the law, right? And they were doing their best to try and live by the law, the commandments. And then John puts it that since that time, the kingdom of God, has been preached, which Jesus Christ had started to do. But then it says, everyone is pressing into it. That word pressing is also the Greek word biazo. That was in Matthew 11, verse 12, to use force. So again, we are supposed to be doing something violently, something very forcefully while pressing towards God's kingdom. I think Jesus Christ is speaking of a focused, concentrated effort by you and I here. It's as if we see this treasure of unsurpassed value, that obviously being the kingdom of God. And it's in front of us. We can see it in our mind's eye, so to speak. And we refuse to be stopped in our pursuit from getting from point A to point B. That phrase, take it by force, is the Greek word harpazo, which means to seize or to eagerly claim for oneself. So if you sort of put together this violent approach in pressing towards something, it seems like you and I are supposed to utilize God's word to the best of our knowledge and ability as human beings, because as we all know, we have faults, but we strive to overcome those, right? As we press towards the kingdom of God, each of us doing our own part in order to be able to even get there, and then have a chance to be converted into a spirit being at Jesus Christ's return. And as much as we need to have and want this burning desire within us to reach God's kingdom, we need to realize that Satan wants that too, doesn't he? He just wants it in a different way. You can just jot down Matthew chapter 13, maybe read over the parable of the sower later on today. But the word harpazo, remember, that means to take it by force. It's the same Greek word used to describe Satan's desire to snatch God's word from you. Take it away from you. That's how forcefully he wants to grab you out of this way of life and put you back into the world where everyone else seems to operate. Our adversary anticipates every chance to whip away the kingdom that God has given to us, that he will give to us. And knowing this should only help us more eagerly lay hold of that vision and to actually take it by force. Not just sit idly by, but continue steadfastly to study our Bibles. And not just to learn what it says, but to put it into practice in our lives. That's what we have to be doing if we are to keep ahead of what this world continues to encroach upon us every single day. And I know that entering God's kingdom isn't something that we can do on our own, is it? No matter how much force you and I apply, it is only through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and only his sacrifice, that makes our pathway even possible through forgiveness and repentance of our sins. But with that being said, that groundwork is there for you and I. There is that opportunity if we want to take it. We just need to be motivated to take it and to take it by force at times. Think about the account in the book of Numbers where Moses sent out the spies. We're not going to turn there. He sent out the spies to scout out the land of Canaan before the nation of Israel went in to inhabit the so-called promised land, right? The spies went in and returned. And they thought, you know, they gave this glowing report back to Moses and the people. They said that the land truly flows with milk and honey. But they also saw many fierce inhabitants who all also called that land home. Giants, the descendants of Anak. Only two of the 12 spies were willing to trust God's promises and to boldly go forward to seize that land. The other 10 did not want to. And somehow they corrupted the minds of the rest of the Israelites, and they didn't want to go either. They were afraid. The other spies were stricken with grief, and they complained. They said, we don't want to go in there. We would get destroyed. The Feast of Tabernacles, for you and I, was our opportunity to get a preview, a sneak peek into what life might be like in the kingdom. It was our chance to get a glimpse of the promised land. Now that we're back home, we're getting a better look at what it's going to take to get from this point forward. Just like the Israelites, we too have giants to face down, don't we? It's just that they're not the 10-foot plus tall giants that the Bible speaks of. We face giants like sinful attitudes, poor choices, addictions, wrong desires, pride, just to name a few. Those are our giants. Those are what we have to face day in and day out. Those are things that we need to overcome. Remember, though, that we are not unequipped for any battle that we face. God has given us an entire suit of armor mentioned in Ephesians 6 that we can utilize, if we so desire, to forcefully push forward while we combat sin and the evilness of this world today. And the Apostle Paul, I found this interesting as I was going over my notes last night, and I included this part in my notes for today. Before he goes through that spiritual suit of armor in Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul starts out that part of Scripture by telling us in verse 10 to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Don't be cowardly. Don't just take a seat back and wait for the kingdom to get here. But press forward, knowing that God will be there for you as long as you are there for him. He has given us his power through the gift of his Holy Spirit, which does help us. It does enable us. It does help guide us through this life. So we have what we need. We just have to forcefully use it to combat the sin of this world. Brethren, do you value the glimpse that you get every single year at the Feast of Tabernacles? I know I do. I certainly do. If you do, then put on that whole armor of God talked about in Ephesians 6 and fight. Fight with tenacity, fight with perseverance, because the kingdom of God, as we know, is real. It is going to come to this earth. And if you want to be a part of that time period, then you need to be pressing forward, doing what you can each and every day to lay hold of the sin that so easily ensnares us and remove it. No wonder it says also in Scripture that Satan is a devouring lion, just roaming about, seeking whom he wants to remove from this way of life. He tries forcefully to do that. What are we going to do if we want to forcefully push back? That's a decision that each of us needs to make. So, if that sounds like something you want to be a part of, like I said, don't just sit and wait for the kingdom of God to come to you. Press towards it. Seize it each and every day, each and every moment. And as it says in Matthew 11, verse 12, get violent. In other words, get zealous to be counted worthy to enter the kingdom of God at the return of Jesus Christ by studying, learning, and applying God's word in your life. Brethren, have a wonderful rest of your Sabbath day.